We are in a battle of truth. It's a battle of truth, and truth is what's authentic. Truth is what's real. And if we don't understand what is authentic, then we will fall for the lie. Everyone in this room, including myself, more than once, has been deceived. That meant we thought something was real or something was true when it was really a lie. You know, and a deceived person is not aware that they're deceived. Otherwise, you wouldn't be deceived. All right. So truth comes. The word of God comes. The revelation of God comes. It sheds light on the darkness. All of us have opinions about things, opinions about people, opinions about life, opinions about what is right and what is wrong. But how many know that our opinions are often wrong? You know, have you ever had an opinion about something to find out that your opinion wasn't right? You know, sometimes your opinions can be right. But there's a proverb in chapter 21 of Proverbs, verse 2, where it says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So, you know, if you ask people, you know, what is right, everybody has an opinion of what right is. Well, to me, right is like this. Right is like that. Well, that may be your right, but this is my right. That may be your truth, but this is my truth. Based upon what? One's own personal opinion. Even our evaluation of ourselves is flawed, isn't it? We're not capable of correctly evaluating our own lives apart from the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God working together. So we all think, you know, even mankind, most people, I say this before, think that they're pretty good people. If you ask a crowd of people, how many good people are out there? Most of the hands are going up, right? Oh, yeah, we're good people. I'm a good person. And so a lot of times we just think, because I thought it, that it must be correct. Well, at least with me, that's the way it is. If I thought it, then it must be correct. Even we drop God in there a lot of times and say, well, God's saying, when God isn't saying. That's just your opinion or your thought. And people want to put God's name in there. Come on, somebody. And sometimes we want to justify our thoughts, you know, and what we're thinking and make it right, even though maybe deep down inside we know it's not really right. But sometimes we're looking for ways to make something that's wrong right. And sometimes it's because we're trying to escape the prison of guilt and shame in our lives. And many people don't know how to deal with that. They don't know how to overcome those things. They don't know how to get over that guilt and that shame. So what we sometimes do is we just get stoned or drunk or whatever, you know, or find ourselves being busy with all kinds of activity so that we don't have time to think about the realities of what's really going on inside. And we don't know how to get over this prison of guilt and this prison of shame and regret of things that I've done and thoughts I've had and you know, the people that I've hurt in my past that maybe I have no way of even reconnecting with them and making it right, you know? And let me just tell you, if that's you today, this is what God showed me. He said, start to pray for those people, even of your past, that you won't be able to reconnect with. Pray for them the way you pray for yourself. With the same love and the same passion. And what you'll find yourself doing is you'll be finding yourself even loving your enemies as you begin to pour into people. Amen. And you begin to forgive and release them and begin to pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you and begin to bless those who are cursing you. You do the opposite. Amen. Start praying for your enemies. Start praying for those even people that maybe you've hurt that you're not able to connect with again. Amen. Pray for them. Amen. That's what you can do because God knows where they're at. God can reach out and God can reconcile. God can heal. God can restore them. You know, when we come to God, most of the time we come for selfish reasons. I mean, I know I do. You know, many people think the gospel is just getting what you want. My dreams, my goals, my aspirations, my prosperity. Many times our lives are centered on how can I be happy? How can I be successful? How can I be popular? How can I be rich or respected? How can I be comfortable? How about this one? How can I be entertained? So much of our time and our life and our focus can be on these things. And if you're building your life on those things, you're actually building your life on sand. Our lives are not supposed to be centered in what we want, but in what He wants. And only what He wants being accomplished through our lives is what's going to bring you true satisfaction. Amen. The joy of the Lord, amen, is the result of being in agreement and alignment with the will of God and doing that which I have been called to, what I've been separated to. And so if we're pursuing temporary things and trying to fill our lives and satisfy ourselves with just entertainment and pursuit of these worldly things, we're never really going to come to a place where we're going to have the true happiness that only comes from Christ. New Living Translation puts it this way: people may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines the heart. Hebrews 4:12, how many know that? The Word of God is powerful, right? It's quick, it's living, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents. Why I do what I do. What am I really wanting from God? Am I just coming to God because God can give me what I want? And of course, a lot of the gospel you hear today is all about getting what you want rather than discovering what God wants and living in that reality. Amen? Because that is the only thing that will bring true satisfaction. You see, there's two parts of us in Christ, isn't there? There's that old and there's that new. There's that other part of us that just kind of wants to have its own way. And that other part of us kind of says, you know what? If I deny myself, then I'm going to miss out on something. If I don't indulge myself here, then I'm going to miss out on that. Are you hearing me? How many would agree with me that a life well lived is a life that has been lived for Christ and for the will of God? Do you want to know what a waste of a life is? A waste of a life is living for yourself. You see, that goes contrary to human reasoning, to natural understanding. Natural understanding is says, no, you live to be happy. And you pursue all these things that promise to make you happy. And then when you achieve these things, you find you're still not happy. And then you're looking for the next thing that might make you happy. Are you hearing me, somebody, today? And the enemy has got like that carrot on the stick. He's just dragging you along and through your life, and the weeks and the months and the years are going by, and he's got you distracted. He's got you off course. You're not in the will of God. He's robbing you. And what he wants you to do is waste your life, because he's a thief. God came to give you life. To the full, abundant, overflowing, superior quality, superior quantity of life. That's what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to take away. He came to give something superior in place of that which is inferior. And if we focus on the inferior and the temporary, and we spend ourselves just in this world doing things to try to make ourselves feel happy, we're going to look back and say, where have all the years gone? How many are realizing life is very quick? I can tell that when I look in the mirror. Oh my word, there's another one. You know, a lot of times we think truth is what we determine it to be. Isn't that right? To me, truth is this. And again, my viewpoint is correct because I'm the one that thought it. And the Bible says in Proverbs 3 not to be wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own understanding, in your own estimation, even of yourself, because you and I are not capable of really being a good judge of ourselves. It's the Word of God that is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's only through the revelation, the light that comes through the Spirit and the Word working in our spirit, amen, that we understand that there is a contrast between who I am now and what I should be. Have you ever noticed that in our lives we're always looking and saying, incomplete. This needs improvement. That needs change. This is good, that is not. Ever feel like what God expects of you and who you are is like, there's a wide gap there. Amen? Between what God is expecting and what we see ourselves to be. Now understand that God is the one who was working in you, both to will and to do. It is God who transforms. It is God who makes new. It is God who gives revelation so that we can understand who we truly are, not based upon our own evaluation of ourselves, but in truth or in reality, God will show you where you really stand. And aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit has come to guide us into all truth? Because we're incapable of knowing or abiding or continuing in what is true apart from the Spirit of truth. That's why Jesus sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so your call, the will of God for your life, is greater than you are. Isn't that right? Remember, the prophet's mantle was an oversized mantle for a reason, because it was something that he had to stretch and to grow into. Amen? When someone is called and anointed of God and given a vision from God and a direction for the future, it doesn't happen overnight. It is a process of growth, of growing up into your call and filling out that mantle, if you will, in Christ. So if you see a gap between where you are and where you should be, turn to your neighbor and say, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Why? Because it causes us to desire to grow. If we know that we need to grow, amen, we're going to drink some milk, amen, and hopefully we're going to start, I heard this the other day, washing down some meat with the milk too, right? We want to grow. We're hungry. We're thirsty. We're not satisfied being where we're at. God is taking us somewhere. God pulled you out of the world. He took you out of Egypt, not just to leave you in a place where you're treading water or in a place of neutrality, in a place where you're just kind of getting satisfied, eating a little manna, things that fall from heaven. Amen. God wants to take you into a place that is flowing with milk and honey. He wants you to take you into a place of abundance. And so we've got to understand that if I know that I'm not where I need to be, it should create in me a desire to press into God and to be filled up with God. Amen. And to be mature in the Lord. Because I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, when I was in first grade, I always wanted to be in second grade. When I was 1 year old, they'd ask you, how old are you? 1 and a half. You had to fill the half in there, you know? Why? Because there's something in a child, you know, where that causes them the desire to grow, to go beyond where they've been. God has put that in you. If you are born again, child of God today, there is a desire in you to grow up, to become mature. Amen. We all look forward to the day, especially when we start to get a little older, we start thinking about someday having my own family and having children and reproducing. Amen. That's what God wants. He wants us to produce spiritual children. He wants us to produce in the Spirit. He wants us to be about sowing, amen, and watering in the Spirit. Growing up into Him, into all things, becoming mature. And understand, you cannot be mature being in isolation. Sometimes, let's face it, it's just more comfortable to just shut yourself into the room, amen, and not go out there. Be out there. You remember if anybody beside myself feel that way? Sometimes you just want to be left alone. But you got to be careful because you'll end finding yourself in a prison. Amen? Of your own making. And God is calling us. A lot of times He said, what are you doing here? I want you to get up and I want you to get out. I want you to be salt. I want you to be light. I will be with you. I will give you the ability to do what you can't do anyways. You'll be able to speak for me. You'll be able to heal the sick. You'll be able to cast out demons if you just step out. I'll back up my word. I told you I would. But you got to get out of that prison. You got to break out the walls. Amen. You got to get out. Come out of your shell. Turn to your neighbor and say, come out of your shell. You know, Jesus said this. In Matthew 10:34, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. Then what is he talking about? We all sing the Christmas song, peace on earth, goodwill, right? He says, I do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Actually, Jesus did come to bring peace. But not in the way that people expect. You know, human wisdom says, let's negotiate. Let's have another meeting. Let's have a treaty. Let's just come together in agreement. And for centuries, millennial now, right? Mankind has been attempting to have peace. Who wants war? And it seems like the harder we try to have peace on earth, the more of a mess we make it. Has anybody noticed that? Does anybody here, and I think people are pretty wise to that now, believe that our politicians somehow are going to produce peace on earth? They have a good intention, and we should strive, amen, to get along. But there will be no true peace on earth until the Prince of Peace returns to earth. Amen. However, God has given us His Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And if you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, then you also have the peace of the Lord. It is not something to achieve. It is something you receive by faith. I have joy. I have peace. I have love. I have gentleness and goodness and self-control. I have all the good things because Christ is in me and He is the source of all that I have need of. And peace is not a result of people just trying harder to get along. Jesus said, do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. The only way that there was going to be peace between you and I and the Lord is through the blood of the cross. It was by the cross that Jesus would bring reconciliation between God and man. It was not by somebody just trying harder to get along. You see, there's an ecumenical movement and the interfaith movement and all these movements today of different religions getting together and say, well, let's just get together and have peace. How many know that that is a false peace and Satan is at the root of it? Why? Because when you eliminate the cross from your message, you have a counterfeit. Because my hope, my faith, is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The only way to be made right with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. Now, Jesus meant what he said, and I believe what he said, and I'm not trusting in Buddha, amen, or Muhammad, or any of these others. I'm trusting in Christ alone. And it's only through the blood that Jesus shed, amen, that I can be forgiven and that I can be reconciled back to God, brought back into right fellowship with God, amen, and have peace in my heart again. You see, if God's people walk in peace, in the Lord's peace, then when we come together, we have peace. When we walk in the peace of God, we have harmony. We have unity among us. Amen? It's not about forming another committee and, brother, what do you think we can do about this problem within the church? How about repent and turn to God? Amen? Draw near to God and the love of God will be shed abroad in your hearts and you'll find yourself loving your enemies. Yeah? If Jesus said love your enemies, well, he meant it. How is it possible for me to love an enemy? Well, you can't love an enemy with your own human love. You have to love your enemy with the love of God. And the only way you're going to have the love of God in your heart is by drawing near to God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. The love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Isn't it true that when we're having a time of worship together and everybody's really focusing in on the Lord, we're drawing near, it's like all of a sudden, all this petty stuff falls off. You know, we're not even seeing the distinctions in the natural. Somewhere we're just seeing brothers and sisters, you know, one family. Because it's the Spirit of God that brings true harmony and unity to mankind. You know, mankind, at the time of Babel, and it was Genesis 11, they were trying to have world peace then too, you know? Trying to come together and it's all just get together and hold hands and sing kumbaya, you know? And, well, that wasn't working out either. Why? Because God was not in the center of that. It was man. And as long as man is at the root of the peace, amen, there will be no peace. Why? Because natural man is fallen from God. Natural man is wicked. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Our hearts are not good. We're not good judges of our own hearts. Only God can change the heart. If you have a changed heart, you'll have a changed life. If you're just trying to patch your life up or make some improvements, forget it. Amen? That's all you're doing. What God wants to do is come in, amen, and do the work from the inside out. Transform the heart, and then the life follows. But you got to give them access. You got to let them have that access. You got to trust in the Lord. Jesus said, I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against your mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. The point Jesus is making here is that whenever someone turns to the Lord, there's going to be a conflict. Why? Because light and darkness are not compatible. When you come to Christ, amen, people that want to live in darkness aren't going to dig you anymore. They're not going to like you. When you come to Jesus, amen, you're seeing things from a different perspective now. You have a new normal. What used to be normal to you is now abnormal. And you're saying, what was I thinking? So, a converted father, for example, would be opposed by an unbelieving son. A Christian mother by her unsaved daughter. Jesus is saying that the gospel itself, the truth, the light of Christ itself will cause conflict. Why? Because we're in a battle, a spiritual battle, and that battle is for the souls of mankind. That battle is for your soul. The enemy is out for blood. He wants to destroy. He wants to kill. And he wants to steal from you. Amen? But Jesus came to give you that life, that abundant, overflowing, full life. And so we've got to turn from darkness. We cannot play patty cake with the devil. You've got to deal a death blow to your sin nature. You've got to turn away from yourself. Don't come to God with all, yeah, give me this, give me that, so I'll be popular, I'll be rich, I'll be happy. No, God, it's come to God and say, God, what can I do for you? You went to the cross for me. How can I bless you back? How can I love you back? And you know what I've discovered? That when I started serving the Lord instead of self, I had joy. The very thing I was pursuing in the world that I could never find, I found in denying myself and doing what God called me to do instead. Is that making sense? You want to live? Really live? Die. Die to yourself. Get over yourself. Don't make it about yourself. Make it about Jesus and His mission. Start to live for eternity. Don't waste your life on the temporary things. Start spending yourself in eternity. Start spending yourself on that which lasts forever. Jesus said, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, but what? Store them up in heaven. Live for eternity. That's where you'll find your life. If your treasure is in heaven, that's where your heart's going to be. If your treasure is here on earth, it doesn't matter whether you call yourself a Christian or not. If you're just all full, you know, just full of the worldly things and pursuing the worldly things, then that's where your treasure really is. Are you hearing me, somebody, today? What God wants to do is He wants to set you free from yourself. From the prison of self, the prison of performance, the prison of, you know, being, having to be noticed and seen and coddled. Are you hearing me? Blow my nose, somebody. You understand? It's not about me anymore. If Jesus had pitied Himself, He would have not gone to the cross and accomplished the will of the Father. Are you hearing me, somebody? But Jesus denied Himself, and it was because of the joy set before Him. Are you hearing me? That He was willing to lay His life down. You see, my Jesus is a joyful Jesus because He abided in the will of the Father. And He said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. That's what satisfies me. The Bible says in Hebrews that God anointed Him with the oil of joy above all His brethren. Jesus was full of joy because Jesus abided in the purpose of the Father. Why He was here. Why was He here? He was here not to serve Himself. And He says, guys, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. You go in my name. You carry my name with you. You represent me. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I give you power, amen, over all the works of the enemy, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I will be with you. I don't know about you, but that's superior to what I was looking for and searching for in this world. It never satisfied me. I'm finding that my true satisfaction is in the will, the purpose of God. Never love your life more the purpose for which God gave it to you. Never love your life more than your purpose. Your purpose is to serve Christ. You've been redeemed. You've been paid for. Amen. At the highest cost you were bought. And that's the blood of Christ. For what reason? So I can just serve myself? No. So that I can serve Him who died for me and rose again. Amen. So I can love God back and I can have a treasure in heaven someday. Not only that, but I'm going to have the joy of knowing that I'm in the will of God today in this world. I'm living for Him. Because I wasted enough years. How about you? I wasted too many years in this world. I don't want to waste my life anymore. I want my life to count. How many want your life to count? You want your life to count? Start investing it. Start sowing it into the kingdom. Start sowing it into the will of God, into the purpose of God. Amen. What God wants to do here is equip you to go and do the mission. Amen. To do the will of God. Discover it for your life and go with it. Amen. And you'll find the joy of the Lord will be your strength in the journey. You're not going to be burnt out. You're not going to be depressed. But when you're in the will of God, you will have joy because that's the way it works. You know that people, the statistics are that people, and not every case, but many people that have mental problems, it can always be usually brought back to the root of being focused on self. When I focus on me, I don't like what I see. When I focus on Jesus, I begin to see myself in light of Him. I begin to see my true identity in Christ. But when I'm self-centered, amen, then I have obscured focus. And so all I see then is my insecurities. All I see then is my failures, my shortcomings. The Bible never tells you to esteem yourself. You don't find that in the Bible. That's human psychology that says self-esteem. The Bible says to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Do you know what the root of low self-esteem is? You ready for it? Pride. Pride. When I'm focused on me, and what I expect for me, and what should be me, and what my dreams and my goals and my things are, when I'm focused on that, and then I don't achieve that, I don't reach that, I'm crushed. And I get into depression. Yeah, failed again. Well, maybe you need to just do yourself a favor and get your eyes off you. And get them on Jesus. Say, forget about, you know, a dog on a hunt? You know, how many here have dogs? You know, you had a dog maybe. You throw that ball, man, he's gone. Right? He's not focused on him. He's not swatting the fleas anymore. Right? He's like, man, I'm on a mission. I've got to go get that ball. And so likewise, when you and I are focused on the mission of God, we're not going to have time for the pettiness. We're not going to have time for all the other stuff. Amen. To get in the way, to cloud our vision and get into self-pity and woe is me. How you doing today, brother? Oh, let me tell you. I'm going to pick on somebody recently because there's a sweet little lady that comes here. You know her, Jan? Jan Walton. Well, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Jan broke her back. She's up and walking. She's in recovery. But one thing that you notice about Jan is that Jan's not looking for a pity party. She's not looking for somebody to say, oh, poor Jan. She's over there encouraging somebody else. You see, Jan, she's always encouraging, lifting up somebody else. You met her, right? She's a sweetheart. She's a godly woman. Why? Because her focus is not on self, but on others. And I find that when I get introverted and I start to focus on self, I get into a bad funk. You know? You want to get over depression? Get your eyes off your mess, your problems, whatever else, and get them on the solution. Pursue God. Press into God. Do you understand? Sometimes God allows these things in our lives, the difficulties of life, for what reason? So that we will draw near to Him, because He wants to talk to us. Because He wants to reveal Himself to us and His heart for us and His will and His purpose and the hope that we have. If I never have had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve it even. So when these things happen, what does it do? It causes us to draw near to God. Amen. Folks, when I have a problem, I don't run to a psychologist. I run to the Comforter. I run to the Counselor. I go to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Lord helps me. I get on my face before God. If I'm lacking peace in my life, I get on my face and say, God, is there something I'm missing here? Has there been a disconnect somewhere? Sometimes it's just the enemy throwing a smoke screen on you. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you just get in God's presence and all of a sudden that burden is lifted. You know, the peace of God is once again flooding your soul. Life is good in the God zone, as they say. We have life in Him. You can say with assurance, it is well with my soul. You draw near to God, He draws near to you. Jesus was saying here, folks, that if you're going to be His disciple, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be division even within families because of the truth. The truth is not compatible with a lie. Light is not compatible with darkness. Unrighteousness with righteousness. Understand that this is a price that you'll pay to be my disciple. But He's also saying that you and I often, hear me, please, hear me, are going to have to make the decision who we will serve. Will I prioritize the will of God even above my wife? My family's desires, boyfriends, girlfriends, will I prioritize God's will above even my own will? In order to be a follower of Jesus, we cannot be self-willed. The self has to be brought under submission to the will of God. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is true discipleship. It's not just coming to church and hearing a feel-good message and going home and living for self. Amen? It's to be equipped. Amen? So that we can do the will of God, which is eternal, and the Word of God abides forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word will never pass away. And he who does the will of God abides forever. And what you think you may be losing or giving up, you will discover it was well worth it. I don't even miss it. But at the time I was being challenged to let some of these things go that were hindrances, maybe even weights. They may not have been necessarily a sin, but they were weights. They were things that were choking me out, that were choking the life out of me, that were distracting me and causing me to be distracted away from the will of God. Those things, even the good things, can become bad things if they become gods. If you prioritize those things before the will of God, and I've discovered that it's worth it. It's worth it. Anytime I say no, and sometimes there's a battle, isn't there? That flesh sometimes is really fighting hard to have its way. And this is where we have to make the decision who we're going to serve. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve Christ and serve self at the same time. But I guarantee that if you deny yourself to choose to follow Christ, you'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. And you do this daily. Every day, you commit your day, your life anew. And you start following Jesus. You have a life of prayer and communion, devotion to the Lord, be in His Word, and be in His purpose. Be available for God to use you, amen? To speak through you, to reach through you, however. And you'll discover that the superior reality is the reality of the kingdom of heaven among you, and even in you, the God, amen, of the universe dwelling within us, and working in us, and working through us. And we're watching people's lives be changed, because we're simply humble vessels that yield our ourselves to God and say, Lord, how can I serve you today? What can I do for you today? No longer, what do I get out of it? But Lord, what can I bring you today? Is there a witness in here today? Am I speaking the truth? This is how it works. The natural, if you're saying that doesn't make sense, it's because your natural mind is not going to be able to comprehend these things. You need the Spirit of God to touch your mind, amen, and bring this revelation that as long as you are serving yourself and living for yourself, you are actually wasting your life. But when we come to the place, I'm sick and tired of living. Amen. For self, being selfish, being fruitless, being lukewarm, being complacent, apathetic. I want to live. Well, the only way you're going to live is to abide in Him who is life. Continue in the Lord Jesus Christ every day. In the will of God, you will find satisfaction for your soul. You will be completed only in Christ. As you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find that you are complete in Him. Even with our limitations, amen, when we are clothed in Jesus Christ, there are no limitations. All things are possible to them that believe, amen. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have watched over and over again people who really wanted to live for God. You know, the Lord spoke to them. The Lord reached down and touched them, and something happened, and they were drawn, and maybe they came down to an altar, and they surrendered their life, even sometimes with genuine tears of repentance. Amen. And then they begin to serve the Lord. They begin to walk with the Lord. They get excited for a moment at least about the things of God. And they start coming to church. They start reading their Bible. They start praying, you know. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes along. Somebody enters into their life. A boyfriend. A girlfriend. A relationship that was not meant for them. Whether it even be a business relationship. And little by little, you watch the life just drain out of them. Because that person is not pulling them up, they're pulling them down. Now, I want to read you one scripture, okay, in closing, because this has to do with what I'm talking about right here. Jesus was known to be a friend of sinners, but Jesus never compromised with sin. Amen. Jesus is on a mission. He was not on a mission to please people and make everybody like Him. But He loved people enough to tell them the truth. And so He hung out with sinners. Amen. For the sake of the mission of God. To reach out to them. Amen. With the love of the gospel. And it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Many of us have read this many times. You understand this? But hear me, because this is an instruction to the Corinthian church, the church at Corinth, to believers. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If we would simply listen, heed the word of God, and quit trying to rationalize, justify, make excuses for what we're allowing in our lives, instead we need to say, what does God have to say about it? How many know that the Word of God is true? The Word of God is effective. It's powerful. It can transform you if you're willing to obey it. Amen. I have watched so many people fall victim to this very thing. They ignored this instruction and they got involved in a relationship because, oh, he was so nice to me. Or she was so hot. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. And what? I will receive you. It's not, did I receive Jesus? It's, did Jesus receive you? You see, Jesus will not receive you until you repent. People say, oh, I received the Lord. Did the Lord receive you? If you don't repent, you're not going to be received of the Lord. Come on. So he says, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good character or habits. Yeah, morals. Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 11. It says that King Solomon, he began well. God had anointed Solomon. He was the richest and wisest man ever. But the problem is Solomon compromised and he did not listen to the voice of God when it came to relationships. And it says that Solomon loved many women. How many know he had like 1,000, right? I can't imagine it. King Solomon loved many foreign women as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. And in verse 2 it says, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love, in disobedience to the Lord. You see, sometimes the deception is thinking, because God is using me, because I have the anointing, that somehow I'm immune to these things. I can make compromises and not be affected by it. Do you understand? But it says that when Solomon was old, it didn't happen overnight, but when he got old, after a period of time, it says that his wives turned his heart away from the Lord. And he began to worship pagan gods. Can you imagine? That he went from the glory that he had, the standing he had with the Lord, to actually worshiping pagan gods in the end. How many of you agree with me that we need to start listening to the voice of God? We need to start doing, find out what God wants. Find out what He says and start doing what He says. And I've heard it said by somebody, he says, let's just give it. In fact, Kabor, you were there. Yes, you were. It was, what was his name? One of the speakers down at
Reading?
Mario Murillo. Yeah. Mario Murillo was there. And he says, all these politicians have all these ideas about how we're going to fix the problems, you know. He says, why don't we do this? Why don't we just have a test? And let's all follow the Bible. Follow the Word of God for 6 months as a nation. Let's just experiment. And all of us just follow the instructions of this book for 6 months in our nation. Now, what do you think would happen? Do you think America would be transformed? Yes. How about you as an individual? Are you willing to follow the instructions? Are we willing to listen to God's voice and do what He says? I promise you it works. But if we're rebellious, if we're stubborn, and we want to do our own thing and try to make excuses for it, it doesn't work well. It doesn't go well for you. And we don't want anybody to be shipwrecked. Amen? We don't want anybody to be shipwrecked. We want to see every one of you here. Amen? In that day, I'm hoping to see every one of us here. Amen? Including me. Around the throne of grace. Celebrating together, amen? A life that's been redeemed. Not only redeemed, but a life that has been well lived because it's been lived for Christ and not self. Let me ask you this. Are you willing to give up yourself that you might live for Christ? Are you willing to lose your life in this world that you may find it in eternity? Are you willing to sow your temporary life for that eternal life? Are you willing maybe to give up even some of the temporary comforts and pleasures and entertainments that you might have eternal bliss in the presence of the Lord and hear the Lord say in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Are you willing to give your heart and life over to the Lord to serve Him? Or are you just going to walk out the door today and forget all about this and continue to live for self? You and I have been given a choice today. We're either going to continue to waste our lives, or we're going to invest our lives and make them count in eternity. If you're willing to invest your life, to really give your life over to the service of the Lord Jesus, right where you're at, why don't you make that commitment to Him? Why don't you say to Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my problems. I give you my sin. I give you my shame. I give you my regrets. I give you my past. Lord, I give you the whole thing. There's nothing I can do about it. But I'm asking you to save me. I'm asking you to receive me. Lord, I repent. I turn to you this day and I call on your name, Lord Jesus, and I'm asking you to save me. Make me a new creation. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to serve your purpose. So, Lord, I'm asking you to fill me with the knowledge of your will. Make it clear to me what I am called to do. How can I love you? How can I serve you for the rest of my life? How can I invest this temporary life that I may gain eternity with you? Hallelujah. In the sense that I'm going to have treasure. In the day that I see you, I want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant.